What I was going to say was that he gave glory to God, and he talked about love. And folks, you can't get any better than that. That was right after the win. Now, many of you have noticed, I know, that I am dressed in some colors today. And I don't normally do that, and I'll tell you why, because we have folks in our church and pull for a vast myriad of different teams, and so I just don't normally do it. But something happened years ago that I have to do it today. A dear brother came to me, and he gave me a shirt, orange shirt. He said, "I want you to wear it." I think he wanted me to wear it at church. I said, "Well, I don't normally wear school colors to church because we have so many people with pull for different teams." But I said this: if Clemson ever wins the national championship in football, I'll wear it. That was years ago. A few years later, another brother came. He gave me a tie. Same thing. Well, he wanted me to wear a church. I said, "Well, you know, because we have so many different people pulling so many different teams, don't normally do that. But if Clemson ever wins the national championship in football, Sunday following, I'll wear it." Now, I don't have any stories at all about the purple vest that I'm wearing. I just threw that in. But I hope all my friends that pull for different teams understand that I want to try to be a man of my word and keep my word, so that's what I'm doing today. But listen, though we may pull for different sports teams, and we do, and that's fine, that's great, that's good. If you know Jesus, we're all on the same team. And boy, that's the best team to be on of all. The team of the Lord. And the Lord doesn't want you to sit on the bench when you're playing on his team. Listen, there's a place for you on God's team. And as we saw last Sunday, the Lord has invested talents and abilities, opportunities, if you say spiritual gifts, freedoms in you. And according to the parable of the talents, the Lord wants you and the Lord wants me to invest wisely in the things that God has given us, using all that we have for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are seven principles that will help us to invest wisely. We noticed four of those last Sunday. The first principle that will help you and me invest wisely, just about a way of review very briefly, is recognition. We need to recognize that God owns it all. Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." We think we own houses and lands and cars and stocks and bonds. Folks, we don't really own anything. It's just on loan to us for a little while. Then if Jesus tarries, we pass off the scene and somebody else gets it. God owns it all. We need to recognize that. And then the second principle we looked at is allocation. That is, God has given us some unique talents and abilities and freedoms and opportunities and spiritual gifts. You may not think that you have too much, but let me tell you something. I want you to understand this. By the virtue of the fact that most of you were born in America, you live in America. You have freedoms and you have opportunities that most people on this planet dream about, don't have, and they will never have, just simply because they were born in a land that is third world, poverty stricken, ruled by some rich dictator, while most of the people live in abject poverty. Allocation. He expects a return on his investment. And the third principle is dedication. That is, God expects us to use what we have given us. We are, folks, we are not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. You remember Ephesians 2, 8 through 10? We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. Oh, I love that verse. It means that I can never earn the favor of God, so God gives it to me as a free gift, salvation, a gift of God, lest any man should boast, meaning that when we get to heaven, we won't sit around bragging about how we earned it. But rather, we will always brag about how Jesus earned it for us. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his poimē. Get the word poem from it. It means work of art, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in. And so we must dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And folks, if you will do that, God will use you to the point where you will even surprise yourself. I didn't know I could do that. You know what? You can't. Not on your own, but God helps you. God makes up the difference. Dedication. And then the fourth principle we looked at last Sunday was realization. Though people may not realize it, God has been very faithful to all of us. One of my favorite passages, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is so faithful to us. We take that for granted so many times, but he is. And God is particularly faithful to us in regards to our biggest and most lethal problem. You know what your biggest problem is? You might think, well, it's my boss, or it's my wife, or it's my husband, or my neighbor. No, no, no. Your biggest problem and my biggest problem is sin, and God knows that. That's why God sent us a Savior. Had your biggest problem been the lack of education, he would have sent a school teacher. Thank God for school teachers, but that's not your biggest problem. Had your biggest problem been lack of a building or shelter, God would have sent a builder. Thank God for the builders, but that's not your biggest problem. Hey, if your biggest problem has been a need to have medication, God would have sent a doctor. Thank God for the doctors and nurses, but that's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem and my biggest problem is sin. So what did God do? He sent us a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And we saw during the Christmas season how the angel announced his coming. His name will be called Jesus, for he will be the Savior. He will save his people, what? From their sins. And so God is faithful to us, especially in regards to salvation from sin. Now, the fifth principle I want us to get this morning is consideration. Because some things will keep you and some things will keep me, hold us back from using our talents. Let me just remind you about what has happened in this passage of Scripture. Remember, Jesus is talking about that long period of time between his first coming and his second coming. His disciples thought that he was going into Rome. He just made the triumphant entry, or going into Jerusalem rather, made the triumphant entry. He was going to grind Rome into dust, bring down his angelic army, set up an earthly kingdom. They'd rule with him. Everybody'd live happily ever after. Jesus told them a number of times, that's not the way it's going to be, fellas. In Matthew 24 and 25, he talks about all the end times events. He talks about the rapture. He talks about the tribulation period. He talks about the glorious reappearing of Christ. And he also talks about the judgment. And how you and I will stand before him one day and give an account of ourselves unto God. And we will face the record we have written as Christians. Won't determine whether we're saved or lost or already saved, but it will determine what kind of reward we will receive in eternity. In the Christian life, there's some things that the Bible says here will hold us back, because one of the men, while the other two were faithful with their talents of money, remember what a talent of money was in that day. One talent of money would be equivalent to somebody giving you 20 years worth of salary at one time. A tremendous amount of money. Two of the men that the Lord told about were faithful. They invested wisely. The man with the five talents of money, that'd be like 100,000. Somebody giving you 100 years, not 100,000, but 100 years worth of salary at one time. Tremendous amount of money. He invested wisely, made five more. Another man, two talents. Invested wisely, made two more. But one man had one talent, still a tremendous amount of money, like 20 years of salary given to him at one time. What did he do? He buried it in the ground, and he hid it. Why did he hide it? He said, because I was afraid. Verse 25, he says, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Fear will hold you back, and fear will keep you from reaching your full potential as a devoted follower of Jesus. This man said, I was afraid, so I hid out. But he was more than being afraid. Listen, he was out of fellowship with God, because, you know, remember Adam and Eve after they sinned? What did they do? They hid in the bushes. The Lord came looking for them, and the Lord inquired about what had taken place, and Adam said, I was afraid, so I hid. And fear will hold you back. Now, there are three kinds of fear that will keep you from developing your talents and reaching your potential as a follower of Jesus Christ. One, self-doubt. And by self-doubt, I'm referring to the child of the Lord who chooses to focus on his inadequacies and shortcomings rather than on the Lord and His power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Coach Sweeney was talking about that last play in the football game. And he was trying to tie it in with Philippians 4:13. He said, I don't think it's any accident. This is what he said. Now, I'm not sure of all his theology. This is what he said. He said, I don't think that it's any accident that a five-star quarterback, number four, with 6 seconds left in the game, threw the ball to a walk-on wide receiver who happened to be number 13. He's not very superstitious, is he? Because he caught it with 1 second remaining and scored the touchdown, and he related that to Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The literal meaning is, dear friends, whatever God wants me to do, He will give me the strength to do it. Don't let fear keep you from doing what God wants you to do. I know whereof I speak on this. God's always been calling me to the ministry, the pastorate, to preach. All my far back as I can remember, that's just the truth. But I almost let fear keep me from doing what God called me to do. Fear, Pastor? Yeah. Standing up and speaking in public scared the daylights out of me. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, but it's the truth. I would just about as rather face a machine gun as stand up and say anything in public. I was content Lord, I'll serve you. I'll just serve you behind the scenes. But it wasn't God's plan. Finally, like what Paul said one time, I preached the first time. It was fear and trembling, I promise you. But I'd found out something. From the very first time to this time, I'm now 65 years of age, wearing my Clemson colors for the first time ever in a Baptist church on a Sunday morning. I'll remember this day. I found out something. From that very first humble effort at preaching a sermon to this very day, I found out that whatever God calls you to do, God will help you do it. He's always helped me. he will help you. Self-doubt will keep you from developing your talents. Then self-consciousness will keep you from developing your talents. We have sometimes the fear of what other people are going to think if we mess up, if we make a mistake. I think, and please don't, I'm not trying to be cruel when I say this, but some people get so afraid of making a mistake, their whole life becomes a big mistake. That's so sad. That's tragic, isn't it? Now, you may have some failures. I'd like to stand here today and say, oh, all of those sermons that God helped me with, man, they were great sermons. But, I'd be lying because I've been pastor here going on 28 years. God helped me, but sometimes the flesh is kind of weak, you know. Sometimes we do feel like we have failed. That's just human. But there is a greater danger than failing. And that is you let the fear of failure keep you from ever jumping in and doing the best you can where you're at with what you've got. Listen, failing is not fatal, but the fear of failure can be fatal. It can keep you on the sidelines and keep you from reaching your potential that God has given you in and through Jesus Christ. Self-consciousness can cause fear and keep you from developing your talents. Self-pity can cause fear and keep you from using your talents. You know, sometimes people will look at failure and times in their life when they messed up. Maybe they got way out of fellowship with God. They think, well, God can't use me anymore. I messed up big time. Did you know some of the greatest heroes in the Bible had tremendous failure in their life? I think about probably the three greatest men of the Old Testament, and I always hesitate to say this because there were many great men in the Old Testament. And listen, we have a privilege of walking with the Lord that many of them didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit in a special way today that they didn't have. But yet, when I think about great men of the Old Testament, I think about Moses, I think about Abraham, I think about David, all three of them. Many scholars say these are three greatest men of the Old Testament, but all three of them had tremendous failure in their life. But what did they do? They repented and they returned to the Lord and the Lord restored them. And the same thing can happen to you. Let me illustrate it like this. This is a real, genuine $100 bill. Now, don't get too excited. I'm not giving it away. You can take it over to Costco and do like those ladies over there. They'll hold it up and look. I don't know what they're looking at, but they want to make sure it's not counterfeit. A real, genuine $100 bill. You know what you can do with this $100 bill? You can spend it, but you can also do this. You can also do this. You can also do this. But you know what? It's still worth $100, isn't it? And even though you may have gotten way out of fellowship with the living God, He loves you. And you know what God can do? He can do this. He can straighten it out. He can smell. Oh, there might be still some rough edges. It's not quite as pretty as it was before. Got a lot of crinkles and wrinkles in it, sort of like me now. But it's still worth $100. And you are still of tremendous value to God, even though at this very moment, you're way out in left field as far as the will of God is concerned. So that's you today. Come home. Come home to Jesus and let Him do a work of grace in your life. Fear can keep you from using your talents and abilities. said, I was afraid, but it goes deeper than that. Not only can fear keep you from using your talents and abilities, sin can. And sin will. The man said, I was fearful, but his master says, oh, it's deeper than that. Verse 26, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. Notice that word wicked. The Greek word is porneia. Get the word pornography from it. It refers to immorality, physical immorality. But also in the Bible, it refers to spiritual immorality, idolatry. Not only adultery, but idolatry. So this man was not only fearful, his master said, you are wicked. And folks, let me tell you something. Each and every day that you live, whether you like it or not, you deal with the forces of evil. Evil's everywhere. The Bible talks about three sources of evil. Three, we know for sure. The world, that's evil around us. Creed of greed, God of gold, temporal, foolish values. The world. Not the world of people. God loves that world, not the world of nature. But an evil world system that hates Jesus Christ and the things of God. I'll give you an example. I was using you trying to use Dabo in the illustration to begin the message. A couple of years ago, after another big win, I think it was against Notre Dame, ESPN was interviewing him. You know what he did? He began to talk about the Lord and what God was doing. You know what they did? They turned his mic off. Some of you remember that. I remember. I was watching it. They said, oh, it was a technical issue. No, it wasn't. The world hates Jesus Christ. That's the world I'm talking about. That's the source of evil. Then there is the flesh, whereas the world is evil around us. The flesh is evil within us. There is something in you that wants to pull you away from God. The world does, but there is something within you that wants to go that way. One song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. You've been there. I've been there. The flesh, you're born with it. Our little children have it. That's why you don't have to teach them to lie. You have to say, honey, don't lie. You don't have to teach them to steal. You have to say, honey, don't steal. You don't have to teach little children to be selfish. You have to say again and again, please don't be selfish. Now, they're in a state of innocence. Something happened to them. I believe they go straight to heaven. They're doing wrong. They just don't know the wrong they're doing. But they've got it, and you have got it. The flesh is a source of evil in your life and my life. And then third source of evil is the devil. That's evil above us, for he is the prince and power of the air. And sometimes he will just come against you, and he will hit you with this and that, and you engage in what we call spiritual warfare. And that's why every child of God who has any sense whatsoever dresses in the armor of God every day. And if you are fighting spiritual battle right now, you better go to Ephesians 6 and you better claim every aspect of Ephesians 6, putting on the armor of God for your life. So we fight evil. What is the solution then? Well, don't be like Demas in the Bible, because the Bible says, and Demas was way up there. He knew the Lord in a great way, a close associate of Paul. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What is the solution? And don't say it can't happen to you or me. Listen, it happens all the time to people. Pastors, deacons, church leaders, church members. The world, the flesh, the devil, or a combination of all three of them, get them. When it gets them there, they get way out of fellowship with God. Way out of fellowship. I've heard people make this statement, well, if I know my heart, I'm going to do such and such. Let me tell you something, you don't always know your heart. You don't always know the evil that is still lurking within your human heart and your fallen nature, which is part of that heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't always know what is in your heart. So what's the solution, Pastor? Jesus Christ. Love Jesus, live for Jesus, follow Jesus, fellowship with Jesus, stay in communion with Jesus, get in His Word and let His Word get in you. And just as you practice physical breathing every day, practice spiritual breathing, and by faith as you breathe in, claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can be strong against the forces of evil. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And His light is in you and in me in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we can let our lights shine so we make a difference in that little corner of the world where we live. How do you get rid of darkness? This room was in total darkness. Believe me, I've been in here when it's been dark and I was afraid it was going to fall off stage. I couldn't see anything. How do you get rid of darkness? Do you take a gun and shoot it out? Do you take a broom and sweep it out? Take your vacuum cleaner and vacuum it out? No. How do you get rid of darkness? You cut the lights on. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to cut the lights on, and we've got to let our lights be on high beam. You know, you get in trouble if when you're driving down the highway, your lights are on high beam and you meet a car. I've been negligent sometime. I've had them flash their lights. I said, oh, goodness, I got my lights on high beam. Need to cut them on dim. One time we were going home years ago and the dimmer switch went out on my car. Is it night? I had no control over it. It'd go from high beam to low beam. High beam to low. All the way down the road. I was going through the country. High beam to low. My car looked like a Roman candle going through the country. I mean, just flashing like that all the time. I couldn't do anything. I was just hoping it wouldn't go out. I had cars blowing at me. I had people flashing there. I couldn't do anything. A lot of Christians like that. High beam, low beam. High beam, low beam. High beam, low beam. No. No. Listen, get with Jesus, the light of the world, and get your life ordered in such a way that it's a high beam light, because that's what's going to make a difference in this world of darkness. Sin held this man back. I'll tell you one other thing that held him back. Laziness held him back. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. The word lazy here implies, in the context of this passage of Scripture, this man just did not want to take advantage, for whatever reason, of the opportunities that he had. He had his own plans. Maybe he wanted to live leisurely. Maybe he just didn't want to invest his life in the things that really counted. And he just didn't take advantage of his opportunities. So he buried the talent of money in the ground, and it actually lost value probably over a period of time, because the Bible says this owner was gone for a long time. We have tremendous opportunities here in America. America's the land of opportunity. I know there are a lot of things wrong with our country, but let me tell you something. It is still the land of opportunity, and if you will put your mind to it, if you'll pray hard, and you will work hard, you can get ahead still in America. But you've got to take advantage of your opportunities. And God is pleased when you take advantage of your opportunities. So there is consideration. There are things that will hold us back from reaching our full potential as followers of Jesus. But then there is also application. And the application is this: use it or be ready to lose it. Notice verse 28. The master says, take the talent from him. That's the man who buried his talent, and give it to him who has 10 talents. See the principle? use it or be ready to lose it. The Bible is teaching here, notice this statement, that God has a right to take away anything in your life that you don't invest for Him and in Him and use for His honor and glory. This principle is seen all the time. What happens to your muscles? If you don't use your muscles, they get weak and flabby. So use your muscles. What happens to your mind if you don't use your mind? It gets, I want to say weak and flabby. Sometimes I think mine does, but it gets dull. Especially as you get older, you've got to use it or lose it. Same thing is true with these abilities and these talents and these opportunities. Use it or lose it. Now, you can swap it around here because the man who was faithful, he got more. Man who had five talents, he invested wisely, got five more. Man with two, got two more. When you use it, you can get more of it, you see? But why is that? Because God sees you and He sees you're working and you're a wise investor. You're trying. And you're following the Lord. You're wanting to do it right. You're not taking shortcuts. You're wanting to do it right. And God says, that's a man, that's a woman that I can bless. And so He pours His blessings out on you. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you will do what you can, God will do what you can. If you'll give God your little bit, He'll give you His big bit. He will see that you're trying hard. And He will bless you. Think about stewardship. Oh, Pastor, why are you talking about that? Ugh. Let me tell you something. One of the best, we're talking about investing wisely. One of the best, let me change that. The best investment you will ever make in this life is the kingdom of God. God promises to bless you when you do that. Notice Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is the Lord speaking. And try me now in this. Some versions say, prove me. That is, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, you're to be stewards of everything God's given you, your time, your talent, your income. Some people make this mistake when it comes to stewardship. Oh, I'm going to give the Lord 10% and I'm going to go outside and buy me a brand new Cadillac or a $55,000 boat or all of this. And they're like, God's going to take care of me. But they're not being good stewards of the remaining 90%. And then they get themselves in all kind of financial bondage buying things that they don't need. They wonder, well, that tithing didn't work for me. Oh, it works. You just were not a good steward of the remaining 90%. I know tithing works. A while back, I went back and looked at some of my income tax returns. Way back in the 70s when I was in seminary. Looks like Ellen and I starved to death back in about 1978. We did not. God provided our every need. He provided some of our wants, but He provided our every need. I tried to be a good steward, wasn't perfect at it, but I tried to be. And God honored it. And so, application, use it. Get ready to lose. And by the way, when it comes to finances, make God your financial partner. He's the best financial partner you will ever have. One other thing that I want to say before we bring this message to a close. You want to invest wisely. One other thing, compensation. You will be rewarded. Verse 21 and then verse 23. His Lord said to him, this was the faithful servant. Well done and good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And it mentions about the rewards that will come to those who are faithful with all that God has given them. Talents, natural ability, natural talents, abilities, spiritual gifts, if you saved, opportunities, freedoms, you're going to get rewarded. One, you get the affirmation of God. Verse 23, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, it's going to be great, and we're all going to stand before God, but it's going to be great for some folks when the Lord looks over your life and he says, hey, I'm proud of you. You did the best you could. Where you were at with what you had, well done, my child. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Boy, I hope he'll say that about me. I don't know, but I hope he will. And I hope he'll say that about you. Get the affirmation of God. Then we get the promotion of God. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You know what God does for those people who are faithful with what they've got? In the next life, he's going to give you more opportunity. He's going to give you more responsibility. And you and I, according to my understanding of the Bible, if we're faithful, the Lord Jesus is going to allow us the privilege of ruling and reigning with him in a world. And folks, you know, if I had to rule and reign in a fallen world like planet Earth is right now, I wouldn't be excited about it. But folks, we're talking about a golden age. We're talking about the millennial age. We're talking about the reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it will be a joyful and wonderful thing to rule and reign with Jesus. The Bible says we'll have that privilege if we're faithful to him. And then we get the celebration of God. He says, enter into the joy of the Lord. The Lord is really saying here, I'm pleased with you. So I want you to come on in to heaven as we celebrate a life well lived and a job well done. Now, we're challenged at this point, because I mentioned sin today, but the very root of sin is selfishness. And we're by nature selfish people, so we battle that every day. And really the root of conquering all the forces of evil is to first conquer this flesh nature, this selfish nature. Jesus knew that. This is why he said in Luke 9:24, if you save your life, that is, if you live your life selfishly, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, that is, you live unselfishly, you will find it. Would you commit yourself today to following the Lord and putting God first and other people second and yourself last? And it'll surprise you what God will do with a life like that. Close of this illustration. I need to finish up. I'm married to probably the most unselfish person I've ever known, my wife. She's always put the Lord first. She's put me and our daughters second. She's always kind of in the background last. And you know what? She is probably the most fulfilled Christian person I know, and I know I live with her every day. She has to live with me too, so there's going to be a few extra stars in her crown, I promise you. But it works. It works for her, and it'll work for you as well. Now let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would help us to take these principles of life and then apply them to our daily life so that we can truly invest wisely. Lord, we pray that you bless this time of invitation and commitment. We pray that you would speak to hearts, change lives. We're going to thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Maybe you're here today and you know as you look at your life, it's better to look at it now because one of these days God's going to look over it. Just the way it is, folks. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I can sugarcoat it and try to, you know, kind of soothe you psychologically and kind of give you one of these Dr. Feel-Good sermonettes for Christianettes, some who probably smoke cigarettes. I could do that. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth of the matter is, we will stand before God, and you and I need to give ourselves wholly to Jesus Christ and not hold back anything. This begins with salvation. If you're here today without Christ, God loves you. God has a tremendous plan for your life. You come to Him. And maybe as a Christian like Demas, maybe you've gotten out of fellowship with the Lord. You need to come and rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus today. Maybe you need to come join with us. Move your letter to our sweet fellowship, Charleston Baptist Church, or come for baptism. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to come. I'll be standing right here to receive you. We've got some wonderful counselors who will help you in your decision. Let's stand together as we sing.